Hello, hello, ladies and boys. Welcome to the first pilot episode of The Juke Joint, which is a special entertainment media-focused podcast hosted by myself, Jacob Whitmer, as well as my good friend and partner, Aaron New.
And don't forget, special guest host, my damn dishwasher.
Just the damn dishwasher.
Background. Good God, it's loud. It's so loud.
It's a loud
dishwasher. It's on my end. Maybe it's just my headphones, but it's just here. I think it's almost done though, so he'll leave us alone soon enough.
every week we'll have a different appliance in Aaron's house just make a special auditory appearance.
Next week it's the toaster oven. Let me tell you what, that guy is a riot.
He's got so many toaster oven stories to tell. About the time he burnt the waffles. Oh, you never hear a story like that.
So anyways, what's going on? How you been?
I've been okay. The winter chill is moving in here in the Appalachians where I live. We've been getting a lot of snow recently. Today is the 7th of December, so the new Smash has just come out for the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't got a chance to play it yet. I'm going to be doing a live stream later on today with a bunch of people from the... I call them the record label. It's the YouTube channel that I work with, Serenade of Caffeine, and they're going to do a big live stream. It's going to be me and the people on the other shows on that channel and my stepbrother as well. We're all going to be getting together and playing Smash and
awesome.
enjoying some refreshments as well.
Oh, nice pick.
Yes, it's this and this as well.
I guess if you can't see it on, I guess people
will see it. I guess if they're not seeing it. So anyway, like if I must describe. So what I did is I went out. I actually said this in an episode that I think is coming out on the 8th or not. I'm not sure. But there was this... there's this place in Morgantown where I live called the Morgantown Brewing Company. And they had this genius cocktail called the Orange Creamsicle.
I remember that.
Yes. Well, I tried it for the first time at your going away party when you were moving to Washington, where you still reside. And it's vanilla vodka and orange caracho liquor and whipped cream. And it's the smoothest thing, man. I mean, it's one of the nicest alcoholic beverages I've ever had, if not the best. And just on a whim, last weekend, I messaged the head of the record label, Nick, and I said, hey, so I'm thinking I might want to try to recreate that drink while we're at this big party. Do you mind? And he's like, no, that actually sounds like fun. So that's another part of my evening that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that drink was like way too good. But
it was way too good. I tried to make a virgin version of it.
Yeah.
Which was like, and before I knew the ingredients, so it was like orange juice and cream soda. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work, man. It just didn't have the same zap.
Should have been orange juice, cream soda, and then the whipped cream as well.
And then the whipped cream. Yeah.
It was ultra creamy drink.
I think we actually tried, I think the people in my house, they actually tried to put like creamer in it, like coffee creamer.
Hey, whatever works, you know?
Yeah, and clearly none of those did. So that's the lesson to take away here, children.
So since you got an exciting day coming up, like I said, I haven't played Smash in so long, so and being where I work at, there's just like 30,000 copies of Smash Bros. Last night when I was working, or not the night before, coming through, just like, oh, I just wish I had a Switch to play it.
Yeah, I was at the midnight release last night as the snow was falling on the ground, and I sat in the queue with the rest of the gamer crowd.
Where did you go to?
I went to GameStop.
Oh, okay, GameStop. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if one of the retro game stores around there had it or something, you know?
Nah,
I don't know what game stores are there anymore. I haven't been there for like...
I'll tell you right now, the thing that depressed me... Well, not depressed, but there used to be this like retro video game store in Morgantown called literally Retro Video Games and Tapes. And they had the place on High Street downtown. And I used to go there with my friends after school on like Thursdays or Fridays, we would like pop in and see what they had. That's actually where I bought my Super Nintendo and my copies of Mario World and Mario All-Stars, which I enjoy heavily. But then I remember like one day I walked past there and they were closed up and they had a big sign saying, "We have closed because we're moving to a bigger location on Walnut Street. We're going to be in this big location and we're going to do big business now because we've got some money." And they moved there. They had a big, they had a bigger space. They were selling vinyl records, video games, you know, VHSs, all this stuff. And in 6 months, they were bankrupt and closed down.
Oh yeah, I was devastated when that place closed. It was such an experience to walk in there, because even the, I don't remember the old location too much, but the new one I went to a good bit, and just the amount of stuff they had in there. It's like it was the closest thing Morgantown had to a record shop, and it was just like the most blissful thing in the world.
It was a cool time. I've got footage on my channel of me and the first cast of Fan Fiction Drinking Games walking through there, and just joking around about what we saw. And it's now a retro-teak. It's now like a retro clothes shop and things.
Which is also pretty rad.
It's pretty rad. I mean, I went there a couple of weeks ago to a concert by an indie rock band who were touring through. I got invited to that. And they were really, really good. There was one song they did where it had a violin solo.
Which band was it?
Let me look at my telephone.
You got me curious, because I knew Retroteak was doing shows, but I just haven't been able to keep up with what's been going on.
Let me see here as I look through my events history on Facebook. All right, da 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 da. All right, Summer Like the Season is who it was. They are from, I don't know. I'm looking at all the info. They're from Detroit.
Okay.
And
really clicky keyboard here to look it up.
They got a Bandcamp page,
which I'm on right now.
There you go. And they played one song that was just absolutely genius. They had this, it's fronted by the drummer. Mm-hmm. She's the like lead singer and everything. And then it was like guitar, bass, and then they had a guy there who was like doing samples on keyboards. And at one point he played a violin solo in a song. Mm-hmm. And it was the most furious violin solo I'd ever heard in my life in a rock song. It gave me flashbacks to Dylan live in the 70s, if you've heard the Rolling Thunder review tapes, which are genius. And I just, like, when they played it, I was, like, probably applauding the loudest out of everyone there. It was kind of a drag, because they played on a Sunday night when no one was around. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, very few people were there. But they played very, very well. And then the guitarist gave me a sticker, because they were talking to the friend who invited me out, who was an employee at the Retroteak, and then they just hand me a sticker and I have it sitting at home and I don't know what to do with it. Because I couldn't say no, because yeah, like,
stickers are cool, but
stickers are cool, but like, you know,
a collection of stickers by people I've, most of them I've never met. Sometimes, yeah. I just like find them laying around. I just grab them and take them. But
my thing is that, like, because I don't really view them as a great portable commodity, unless you're attaching it to something that is portable. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much like you stick it on something and then you're like, okay, and now I'm living with it. Unless you like try to like really artfully peel it off with the hardened glue and everything.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, I don't know. I've got a love-hate relationship with stickers.
But so, getting into the podcast,
we should probably
talk about,
you know,
what we're doing here.
Do the podcast. What is our, well, how about you though, Aaron? I've talked about what's happening in my life for long enough, though.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, you haven't said anything about you.
Really not too much. Like you mentioned earlier, I moved out here to Washington. I've been here since September-ish. Yeah, I guess early September is when I moved out here. My girlfriend and I, she's working down in the capital of Washington doing some cool things there. And I am I'm just working a little side gig at Amazon just to make some cash, which is okay. You know, doing that makes money at least. But yeah, kind of getting settled in here, doing a lot of exploring. I've got an event up in Seattle tonight I'm going to for this camera company. I guess not camera company, but they're they make lenses for mobile phones, and it's some of the coolest tech I've seen recently. So they got an event going on tonight. I'm gonna go up to that and hang out and meet people. And
you'll have to update us on what you found next episode.
Oh, definitely. Well, I've already I got a back order of stuff I've ordered from them because their holiday, they had a big holiday sale recently, and I just stocked the hell up. And so now I'm waiting to get that in the mail, and I will be talking about that stuff a good bit in the next like year or so, because not only am I excited, I'm super excited not only to get this, but the amount of content that I feel like I'll be able to create because of it, because it'll kind of expand my range of options from, you know, the single lens I have on my phone, or the two kind of iffy lenses I have on my DSLR. Like, I'll be able to expand my focal lengths, and I've got like quality audio for like a microphone and stuff now. So like, nice camera gear in my collection now. So it's getting exciting. Which, by the way, if people listening don't know, I'm super into like visual graphics and stuff. Not like graphic design, because I'm just terrible at that, even though it's cool, but when it comes to like photo and video, that is my jazz. So
yes, and I guess we should now talk about how we know each other, shouldn't we?
I guess, yeah, because there's a long history there. I say that because thinking about it now, I mean, we've known each other for what, like,
I would say
years at least now.
It's bordering on 4 to 5 years, probably, because I met you in fall of 2014, and it's now winter of 2018.
Yeah. So yeah.
So. Yeah. Okay, so then.
You want to kick off that story, or do you want me to kick it off? Because.
Well.
Actually,
you know, you're older. You're older than me. Why don't you kick off the story?
Oh, okay. I see how it is.
Well, you'll have more of a history to tell. You'll have more backstory, and then I can interject later with my own backstory.
Well, seeing because I came into U92 first, so I figured maybe I can give some prehistory.
Yes, we should give prehistory even about what U92 is, probably, shouldn't we?
Yeah. So, well, to make a long story short, U92, also known as WWVUFM, that was that still is the radio station.
Well, is it
university? Well, we won't go into that, but it's the college radio station for Western University. It's been around since the early 80s, and it's been kicking butt ever since it's came on the air. I got there in September of 2013 once I got to college there in Morgantown, and I worked there through January 2017. I finally moved out of there and moved into a commercial radio job. Worked that for a bit. In the time there, I mean, a lot of stuff happened, both good and bad. I don't want to go into the bad, because that is that's probably a Stephen King book.
The story is out there. The story is out there if you want it.
Yeah, just look up U92. I'm sure something will pop up that is that kind of reflects what happened there. But on the good side of things, I mean, a lot of cool opportunities came out of that, because we, in my time there, and I think you were there for this, what, Merle, we won Station of the Year with CMJ.
I just entered the picture. I know you all went up to New York to...
Well, everyone but me went up to New York.
Oh,
they left me to run the station, which...
Yeah, and be stuck with me hanging around.
Yeah, but they went up to New York. We got best college radio station in the country from one of the then... leading publications in college radio music, that sort of realm, before it collapsed and went to limbo. So really, I like to consider it a pretty prominent college station. We did a lot of cool things, had a big staff, accomplished a lot of things on both a local and national level, and it was a cool time. But I got there in September 2013. And Jacob, you got there about a year after me. And,
the story with me is that living in Morgantown, West Virginia, I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on March 8th, 1996, raised in Morgantown ever since. And the thing with me is that the college station was always around. I mean, it was on the dial if you wanted to listen to it. And me and my dad used to turn it on for the classic rock show, because that's my genre that I love so much. And I think one of my earliest memories of U92 was being like maybe 8 years old, and one morning we were listening to the classic rock show, which is called Time Warp, and I called in a request to hear something off of the Beatles Revolver album, and the guy, whoever, was like very accommodating, he's like, yeah, sure. He put the needle on the record and played the first two songs. He played Taxman and Eleanor Rigby, and what I love now in retrospect is that I recognize that that's actually, he screwed up. He wasn't supposed to do that, and he was probably busy like trying to get something else ready, and then he just let the two tracks play on and like figured, it's the Beatles, we'll just let it slide. And I was busy on the other end thinking, are they gonna play the whole album? Because like, I would have been fine with that. And then a couple of years later, actually this is a crazy story, so a couple of years later I'm in the Boys and Girls Club because I needed to do something. And we went there to, like, some people went to the college radio station. It was just down the road from where the old Boys and Girls Club meeting spot was. And we went in to record some PSAs in whatever was the recording studio then. I think it might have been Studio D, but I remember it being a completely different layout then. We might have been in Studio C, I don't know. And the, like, the leaders at the Boys and Girls Club, like, pulled one of the DJs who was working there at the time aside and said, hey, this kid here, he really, really likes the Beatles, and he really, really likes classic rock music. And, you know, he's really into it. And then this DJ goes, here, let me show you something. And he pulls me to the back room and shows me the big vinyl collection where they have all the stuff for Time Warp. And it just floored me. And I went to myself, I gotta get back there someday. I gotta get back and be here at some point. And then flash forward to my first semester in college. I've just gone through 3 years of insanity at high school. I guess 4 years, 1 year where it was my own crisis, and 3 years where I was dealing with other people's crisis. And again, all that story is out there and available for those who search for it. But the opportunity was there for me to join the station. And I remember I applied for either the DJ slot or production, because I thought either one will work, because I'd worked already at the Met Theater doing some soundboard stuff for them, because the manager there is my neighbor. And I went in, and the thing with U92 and the way they interview people is they go into a conference room. I don't know if they still do this now, because I think the system's changed, but the way it was when I got hired is that you went into a conference room at the student union building where the station was also located, and you'd walk in, and there was this like this three-sided square of people all sitting in chairs, and it was every one who was running the station, some of whom I don't even think were in a position to make like hirings and firings. They just were there to spectate. And I walked in, and the program director at the time, Jim Giuliano, was there, and he asks me about my experience and all these other things. And I told a story about how when I was young, I got made fun of a lot for being a big Beatles fan, because in the early 2000s, it wasn't really cool to like the Beatles. And then in 2009, the Beatles Rock Band came out, and everyone had to admit, damn it, he's right. They're really that good. And the reaction I got telling that story was similar to what Aaron just did right there, which was I got laughter around the room. And I'm pretty sure that's the story that got me hired to the station. But what was fascinating about it is that they hired me for both positions, because they said, well, he'll be a DJ because he can tell good stories. And then they went, and then he's got experience running soundboards, so we'll put him on production. And the thing was, is that by the time I got hired, you were the assistant production director. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first meetings with you, my first interactions with you, I don't know if you remember this, was that I had a class during the times that the production staff was meeting all the time. So my early interactions with you were that I had your cell number, and I just kept texting you saying, can't make it today, I'll be in next week. And I think I did that for about like 2 months. Just,
well, I mean, it wasn't annoying apparently, because I don't remember it, because I remember I would think that if you texted me to the point of like, oh god, it's this kid again, I probably would have remembered it. So you slicked by, you got by.
Yes, I never showed up really. I think I showed up for maybe one or two meetings, and I remember you walked in, and I say this with all the love in my heart. You walked in, and I thought to myself, oh my God, Andy from Parks and Rec is real and embodied into another living human being.
No, and I don't know if I feel good about admitting this. I've been told that so many times in my life. I don't quite understand it.
I think it's just the energy. There are
other people I know that seem more like Chris Pratt. but at this point, I will appreciate the sentiment.
I think it was because you had that sort of like boundless energy. You could play guitar, and you had a kind of Chris Pratt haircut and scruff to you. I think it was that sort of thing that made it work. So, and then I got to know you, and it was quite enjoyable. What I loved is that actually getting to know you, you and I had both been doing YouTube videos for years.
Yeah, just so, yeah, that was in separate one of the places. Things about this whole thing is, I think you were the first person I met in college that really kind of shared that interest of not just making videos for the heck of it, but just like being like the creative types that we are. We have a lot in common when it comes to like our creative desires and stuff, and I find that super awesome. And like I said, you're probably the first person I met in college so that was like that.
Which is crazy, because you had to think like that would have been like what, a year or something?
Yeah.
And it took until I arrived with my own little swagger and problems to Well, and I think a big connection too that I think made some good inroads is that I then at one point got to meet the band, the myth, the legend that is What's Missing. Because I remember when you joined, you were out of the band for a bit, right? So for those of you who don't know anyway, Aaron was a founding member of a indie rock band called What's Missing, who I think are very good and you should listen to their music.
I like to think we're very good too, so.
But, You were out of them, or you were in there, or you were in between or something.
God, that's a story in itself, actually, to say that. There's a lot of stories you and I have. I'm realizing this right now. We have a lot of stories to tell, just of a lot of things. So maybe we got to dive into that on some future episodes. But
okay, so then we'll save the What's Missing tales for later.
Yeah,
but
because there's a lot, just even between you and I, there's a lot with that band. Just
oh yeah, well, we could probably do a whole episode on the documentary.
Oh yeah,
of that film. But anyway. Meeting them was really cool. I mean, like, I had to give Aaron a lot of credit because he gave me the opportunity to do things that I'd always wanted to do and never had the kind of inroads to do it. And I just remember thinking, like, I think I sent you a video once trying to get you on Fan Fiction Drinking Games, which was the show I was running at the time I was at U92. And I just said some bollocks about how people live parallel lives, never knowing that they are meant for each other, until one day they finally are confronted with the utter reality of their existence.
You know, I forgot about that. Was that like a Facebook message or something? You sent me, it was like some edited, I think, did you actually like sit down and like edit this video?
Or oh, yeah.
One take? I can't remember.
Well, I think I taped the audio in one take, but I did edit it all together, yes. I like took clips of like your old videos and my old videos and like slowed them down and made them black and white and putting dramatic music underneath it.
Okay, I gotta find that now because I completely forgot about that.
Because, you know, it's not enough for me to just message someone and be like, hey, come on my show. No, I need to get dramatic about it and spend hours just like making something stupid.
Well, it worked, obviously.
It worked in that you ended up being on what currently stands as the final two episodes of the show. And I don't know. That's a story in itself as well for a different day. But
see, I feel like this podcast, we start off, it's like, yeah, we're going to talk about like music and games and movies and whatever. It's like, no, like we should. The stories you and I have to tell, we probably should just dive into that a bit.
Yeah, we'll just like the first couple episodes will be like catching people up on what we've been living through.
Yeah, because good God, the more I sit here, I'm just like, wow, like there's a lot going on that I've just like it's just slipped my mind over time. Jesus,
it's one of the things where I recognize now there is such a thing as being prolific and yet also not recognizing your own prolific nature.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at the age of 22, and I feel like I've done enough work to last me till I'm 35. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm really like, I'm ready to retire away and just sort of sit on my laurels for a bit. And I realize, oh, but I'm actually just still starting. I'm very embryonic in my creative journey. So I don't know. Maybe that's what this is. Maybe this is me resting on my laurels. I don't think it is.
This is the beginning.
I currently have like about 3 different things in production right now, which is insane to think about.
Yeah.
I've got this. I've got The Gaming Weekend. Watch it now. Mm-hmm. And I've got some other show too that someone wanted me to go on. And I think that's like, and I think I said yes to it as well. So there's like a million things happening. And you don't even notice it because it becomes so second nature once you like get into the swing of, oh, I know how to do this, and you get a skill for it. Mm-hmm. Then it doesn't become difficult. And then you take on more and more things, not realizing, oh, I'm doing like a million things at once. You know, at least I think so. You could be taking a different interpretation of that. I remember when you were the program director of U92, and that was a year typified by you'd come into the station and you would be really unhappy.
No, you'd
just be running around going, oh, I can't do so much work. I'm so exhausted. Ah.
You know? Here's one of my biggest problems with that. I guess like the way they had that system at the station at the time was they really put a lot of responsibility on the person who was program director to manage the upwards of 150 people that worked at that station, you know, every week. And that's a lot of responsibility to take on. Like me being a full-time college student, I was working 2 jobs outside of that while also, actually, no, that was, I guess I was working one other job at that point, but I was putting in like 10, 15 hours a week at a commercial radio station outside of that, having to be on call at this student station 24/7, and I'm getting paid like $40 a week to do it. But it was more of a passion thing, you know? So all of that combined, I mean, and just, and you know, that's the amount of drama that just occurred.
Which is also enough
towards
for
the end of towards the end of my run there.
Which is also then led into my brief run as APD, yeah, Assistant Program Director, which not to throw the program director I was working with under the bus a bit, but towards the end I was pretty much de facto program director anyway.
Yeah.
I kind of relate to your struggle. I think all of that is fodder enough for its own episode as well.
Yeah. God, okay, yeah.
So
take notes. I guess the next few episodes of this podcast is literally just going to be us like talking about the history of us. So
I think, though, if I can be completely pompous and conceited, I think, though, we've got interesting stories to tell. And I think we have the humor to make it swing.
Yeah, I'm not thinking like, yeah, it's just like whatever, they're talking about this and that. I think there's enough substance in the things that we've experienced that there's definitely entertaining stories with potential lessons, maybe, I don't know, for the kids out there.
Potential lessons. Learn from us. Don't do what we did.
It's like our...
We were wrong.
Aesop's Fables. I don't know what we call ourselves, but...
Did you just call them Aesop's Fables?
That was told Aesop when I grew up.
It's Aesop.
Okay, I grew up in rural Randolph County, West Virginia.
Yeah, as opposed to urban Morgantown, because it's
they're really proactive in kindergarten and getting us out to the local farm for a tour. So and that
they
was
did, I, they did the same with me. His name starts with an A. A E S O P. Aesop. It's not Aesop.
Okay. Well, I grew up stupid, so that's I'm blaming it on that.
We all grew up stupid.
Grew up school in West Virginia, which is that's just how it is.
Yeah, right. I used to think when I was 6 years old, I thought that I was an absolute genius. The twist was that I was, but you know.
See, growing up, I never saw myself as like a genius, but I figured because like when I graduated, I was tied for 3rd in my class. Like my GPA was like way up there, and I was like, oh, I got all this, you know, honors and stuff like that. I'm like, I feel like I'm pretty smart. And then I got to college, and like, good God, like I didn't realize how just terrible the public education system was for me.
Public education system is just dreadful.
Maybe if I went to school in like San Francisco, I'd be like just the next Mark Zuckerberg. But you know, growing up in little West Virginia in the mountains, it's a different story.
It's tricky with us because we're both people who are far too smart and creative and intelligent for where we grew up in.
But we'll grow out of that.
We'll grow out of it. The goal here. You're already out, so you're making headway.
Well, sort of. I just moved to a place that has a pretty mountain next to it, so.
Yes, but it's closer to a more famous urban area, so.
There's a lot of more opportunity here. I will say that. There's a lot of cool things going on here. Like I said, I'm going to that event in the city tonight, and, like, I don't know. It's not that it's exclusive or anything really unique. I'm just thinking, like, ooh.
It's the Studio 54 of camera events.
It just feels like a cool opportunity. I'm thinking, oh, wow, I never thought I'd be in this scenario, but here I am. But, okay, so, yeah, so, wow, we spent a lot of time talking about ourselves.
Well, because I'm just a narcissistic ass.
But let's talk about the podcast a bit, because we started this. We've been planning this for a month.
We've been planning this for about a year.
Yeah.
Essentially, what this is going to be is... Oh, I almost don't want to put a label on it because it's going to be...
At this point, yeah.
I mean, that's fantastical. Which even saying that is putting, overselling it a bit.
Oh, wait, one sec. There's my bird going off in the
back. I can hear the birds.
My girlfriend, her and her family, and it's rubbed off on me too. They're really into birding and stuff like that. Like, they're like just anything outdoorsy. So we got this, we got gifted this bird clock that goes off once an hour with different birds. So what you just heard for you birds out there was the tufted titmouse.
Hmm.
The bird set to the 10 o'clock spot. So
there you go.
So, but yeah, go ahead with what you're saying.
So before I was interrupted by the birds. By the titted mouses, I guess I should say that what this show will be essentially is every week me and Aaron will be trying to keep up with what's happening in the world of pop culture and entertainment and media. We'll be giving our thoughts on what we think of that and also relating it probably to our own experiences and tastes and preferences in culture and life and study.
Yeah, ultimately, there's plenty of podcasts out there that talk about this sort of thing, but
here's the thing. Those podcasts don't have us.
They don't have us. And they don't have the dynamic duo that we have. That we
yes.
are. That we will refine and make powerful things. God, okay. Jesus. Wow. I really
make it
on that one. Good God. but that's how intense, that's how much this has room to grow.
This is how you know it's good, because we are willing to show you our pants down and say, yep, we screwed that up. Keep it in. Who else is gonna do that? You want professionalism? That's not the name of the game here.
That's not just how it like works anymore.
Just like a real juke joint, we did spit in your eggs, but that just gave it more flavor. So
it added grit, it added personality.
It added grit and personality.
Made you a better person.
Exactly. That's our end goal here. Our end goal is to improve everyone's personality. Because we're really that full of ourselves that we would say that that's what our end goal is.
But yeah, okay. Well, we've been with this. I look at the timer here. We've been running for a bit.
Have we? Time means nothing to me when I'm on a roll. So
I think we've been running for at least. I mean, we've been going to this for like 40 minutes, maybe. I can't tell.
Well.
Okay, I guess so I can tell. I'm just kind of keeping an eye on the clock in the corner.
Which someone's got to be our referee.
If somebody out there listening has a better suggestion for recording podcasts besides freaking Google Hangouts.
Someone's got a better suggestion on Aaron's end of how he can fix his mic levels.
Yeah, because
he's speaking so softly on my end, and yet he sounds so distorted.
I'm over here like practically screaming. I can see my mic is clipping, but if I turn it down, you can't hear me. So I guess you just gotta suffer through the bad audio this round.
Whereas me, who spent so many years in theater that I know the difference between inside voice and outside voice, I've got my Blue Yeti here with its cardioid signal, and I think I'm coming in fairly clear.
It's something on my end. I don't know if it's my hardware or whatever it is, but we'll figure it out. I think it's
we'll solve the problems
for now.
It's enough, which is more than I could ever ask for.
Wait,
it's
said you did theater in high school?
Yes, I did. I did theater in high school, middle school, and everything. Yeah.
Or maybe I did know that and I just forgot.
Well, I mean, I didn't really dwell on it too much.
Something else we have in common is high school theater.
Look at that. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you say the collection's complete?
We got to talk about that now at some point in the future, because I got to know.
You got to know?
It's like...
About my chronic overacting?
It's like Zane and I, because like one of the biggest things when I met him 2012, I think. Yeah, I've known him for I guess I've known him since that long ago. Okay, anyways, one of the biggest things was like we met by chance at the summer camp, and then ever since, like, it's been like constant comparisons of like, oh, like, are you two brothers, or like, are we related in some fashion, or is it that we have like this thing in common, like we just by chance we did the same things. Well, spent so much time together, it started rubbing off on each other, but like just like our histories just melted together.
Well, and that's what I thought was crazy too. When I would find out things about your life, I would think, oh, I did that. I think if I lived where you did, or if you lived where I did, we probably would have been like close buddies.
Oh yeah.
Just like we just didn't grow up in the same location, so we didn't find out about each other until college.
Oh yeah.
Because we pretty much lived the same lifestyle, except yeah. I think you had less social problems than I did.
Which I like to think so.
Which is to your benefit, so.
Yeah, so I guess this podcast is going to be us talking pop culture, talking about ourselves a good bit, because, I don't know, I like telling stories. I feel like I've been through this life enough to have enough cool experiences to want to share them with people, so.
Which is great, considering how we're only in our early 20s, so think of how many more fun stories we're going to have when we actually are of the age to say that we have a bunch of life experience behind us.
I technically consider mid-20s now, which is, I mean, I'm only 24, but, you know.
And I shall be 23 in about, 3 months from
the
tomorrow.
The Blink-182 year.
The Blink-182 year.
Let me tell you what, it is okay. It's just another year on the dial. It's that's probably the best way to describe it. So, coming from someone at me, the ripe old age of 24, giving you But, yeah, so I'm pretty stoked to see where we take this podcast. I think we've got plenty of episodes ahead of us, and hopefully we don't trail off after 3 episodes and die. But
that's gonna be crazy. I mean, if we die, how are we doing that? Like,
I was thinking the podcast might die, not us literally, but you know.
I was about to say, like, well, I don't get bored that quickly, so.
Well, it's like the old podcast that I did with All Killer and No Filler, which was super fun to do at the time, but like, I mean, it only lasted 4 episodes, I guess, technically, and I would have done
way more. I kept playing...
I couldn't get anybody to do it with me.
I kept playing promos for that show and thinking, is this actually going anywhere, or am I just playing promos for something?
Yeah, just kind of like, that really disappointed me, but again, another story.
Another story about our previous podcast attempt. So, I mean, you could talk about that, I can talk about... like the 7 YouTube shows I've run through.
That's a good topic. Just our failed projects.
Our failed projects. Things I don't like calling them failed projects. I think they all did what they were supposed to do. They just never found audiences. So
they never found audiences, or they never found the right support, at least on my end. That's my experience. But
I think it's a mixture. I think
it's everything.
On my end, it's a mixture. Well, each one ended for different reasons, and I don't know. I think the only one I would call a failure would be season 4 of Fan Fiction Drinking Games, which is why it's not out. So,
the lost season.
Yeah, it's lost for a reason. So, anyway.
Okay. You want to head? Well, I don't want to say head to the wrap up, but we got a couple things to talk about before we get out of here. Kind of pertain to the pop culture realm.
Yes. So. Yesterday, as of recording this, it was announced over the news that the frontman of Buzzcocks, the classic pop punk band from the UK in the 70s, Pete Shelley, passed away. That's very unfortunate. I think I wrote it on Twitter. I'll say it again. To me, ever falling in love with someone you shouldn't have is still the ultimate pop punk jam to end all jams. And Singles Going Steady is one of the finest examples of how you can take one of the earliest and finest examples of how the early punk rock sound, which everyone thought was, you know, they're incompetent, they can't play their instruments, they don't know how to, this isn't real music, is a prime example of how actually, you know, you could make great, like, catchy pop songs with a punk attitude and keep it punk. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want the through line that leads to things like Green Day, you listen to Buzzcocks, truthfully.
Yeah.
So that's just my little tribute to Pete Shelley. Let's dedicate this first episode of the show to Pete Shelley.
Pete Shelley.
Fish Alley. Right. Listen to Singles Going on Steady. It's a goodie.
It is. It's a very good song.
That's an album, album. But
yeah, she's
ever fallen in love with someone.
I don't have my coffee in the morning. I just drop the ball and everything.
Well, then I say to you, you should probably go sip on your coffee. And we've been talking now for a time that I don't know. But I think that we've established our personalities, which is fine enough for the intro.
I think so.
Of the show. I think if you like us loonies, like just laughing at our own pomposity, and you want to check out more of this, then be sure to tune in next week where we will be discussing, well, I guess probably our experience online, I guess would be the best thing to do. We'll be talking about our creative projects and how to connect with audiences and our relative success or lack of success at those things.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, he has been Aaron Neal.
That is Jacob Whitmer. Thanks for listening to the first episode of The Juke Joint. Don't forget to whatever podcast service you are on to subscribe to us if you like us. If you haven't already subscribed to it, I guess it's the first episode, so you probably haven't. But I appreciate it if you did. Leave a rating and review so we can get listed on those platforms and
also
open up the charts
and also we can figure out how to make the show better, because exactly. We're always open to suggestions.
Feedback. That is that was.